Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Top of the morning to you. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday, January 14th. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you all here on the only morning show that has a live interactive audience. And we cover these progressive issues that other people simply won't talk about because they are run by corporate media. And they do not want you to have universal basic income, Medicare for all, all of these pieces, universal healthcare, universal basic income, all of these things we're going to talk about on today's show, actually, because it's part of a new campaign for Andrew Yang, who is now officially running for mayor of New York City. We will get to that and his bold plan for universal basic income coming to a city near you. We're going to talk about Joe Biden, and he will be making an announcement this afternoon in Wilmington, Delaware, on the new economic stimulus package. And it looks like this is going to be the first of two stimulus packages. It's going to be massive. We might not like the amount of the stimulus checks, though. I'll tell you about that rumor and some other news on the stimulus front this morning as well. We're also going to talk about which members of Congress were leading tours through the Capitol one day before the riots happened. What the hell? Okay, you're not even allowed to have anybody in there since March of last year. What are all these people doing the night before the riots? We'll get some answers on that. And get ready, because the White House is sounding the alarm about Iran. Well, yeah, get ready. We might be going to war with Iran before you know it. Great, because we needed another bad guy. That's how the story unfolds, right? You need a bad guy in your story. And that means, and then, you know, you're anti-American if you don't think that we should be spending billions of dollars to go to another war and also support our military and lie in the pockets of defense contractors. So we're going to hear from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who's been talking Iran nonstop for the past couple of weeks. All of that and more on the show today. Grover is floating around somewhere.
I thought for sure that that would be a Biden move, but they're going to do it before he even gets office.
Yeah, I mean, and then just like leave it in his lap, right? But see, Biden's pro war, of course, right? I mean, he's voted to expand our military, voted for war multiple times. So it's not a surprise at all. All right, we're going to get to the news. We're going to get to the stimulus news. We're going to get to the impeachment news and what unfolded overnight, where that thing stand in the Senate in just a second. But I do want to tell you about our show sponsor today. It's a service I use every day. When we write our daily newsletter, I use Grammarly every stinking day. And
same
it is
here.
Fantastic.
I use it too every day.
You use it?
Yep. It makes me
Grammarly
seem smart.
Grammarly is fantastic. Right, exactly. I mean, if you're not excellent with grammar, or you just want to improve your email writing skills, or whether you're posting on social media or writing a resume or anything, Grammarly is amazing because it helps you write more clearly, more effectively than, you know, just catching any spelling mistakes. What it'll do is it'll basically give you real-time feedback and insights to help you elevate your writing through your tone. You can pick different tones on how you want to write. You can pick different word choices, your clarity. Look at this. And it integrates with Gmail. It integrates with so many different services. Like, David, how do you use it? Is it integrated with different things, different apps that you use?
Yeah, I use it in Gmail. I also use it on my blog, especially. So, like, when you're writing a blog post, that is very important because it drives me crazy if I see, like, very reputable brands very reputable blogs that have misspellings or poor grammar.
Exactly. So Grammarly Premium, you're going to get 20% off. You can elevate your writing with 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/invest. You have to use that code to get that 20% off. That's 20% off Grammarly Premium, grammarly.com/invest. So intuitive. It's great. It works with all of those apps. We use it every day for our newsletter just to make sure we don't screw something up. And it's interesting too. Sometimes like we'll be writing something and it's like, this word is overused. You probably don't want to use this word. It's like, okay, that's a great example. I'm not going to use that word because everyone uses it. I'm going to think of something different. And Grammarly gives you those options. So
it's not
awesome sauce.
It's not as bad as the letter that Joey wrote, the recommendation Joey Tribbiani wrote for,
in Friends.
Yeah. On Friends. A thesaurus.
Right. Thesaurus. What was it? A thesaurus?
Thesaurus. Thesaurus, yeah. I think. Yeah.
So Grammarly is, I don't know what I would do without it. Really great stuff. Thank you for their support of the show. All right, let's talk some news now. I want to start, though, with what unfolded last night, because now that the House has voted for a second time to impeach President Donald Trump, we need now to start thinking about whether the Senate will convict him and ban him from future office. Because right now, insiders are betting that the Senate barely acquits him. Barely. But some of those guys could decide to flip. We saw Mitch McConnell still keeping his options open, which is amazing. And right now, it looks like it's hard to call. Really too early to call. I mean, you know, these Vegas odds bettors right now are saying, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Some Republicans are already saying that the Senate can't convict a former president, but we actually have precedent for that. Former Secretary of Defense was prosecuted and convicted after leaving office, resigned and left office, and then they convicted him because they discovered, or they impeached him because they discovered he had been taking bribes. So after he left office, Senator Tom Cotton is saying that. From Arkansas. Also, Senator Lindsey Graham last night calling everyone, telling them, you know, that, hey, you shouldn't impeach him. Trump's gone. He's gone. Let him go. But others, though, are not really concerned. I mean, others are concerned that the House impeachment process was so fast, and they were griping that Trump was never able to present any defense to it. And they are, of course, saying it's time to bring the country together. These are all like process arguments right now, right? And those are pretty easy for Republicans to fall back on if they want to say no in the Senate. It is really interesting, though, to see how widespread that sentiment becomes. Like, hey, he didn't get a hearing over in the House. How can we convict? You know, how can we move forward with this? But it's also important to consider that additional information might start to show up and become public between now and the Senate trial. One of the stories we're going to get to this morning, which is how many of these members of Congress were leading these reconnaissance tours, leading people on a tour through the Capitol the night before. So it's not clear if that evidence would even be permissible, though, in the Senate, but it'd be public. So we know how public sentiment actually may shift towards conviction, right? If you start calling your member of Congress saying, hey, I want you to, I want you to vote to convict this president, and there's an overwhelming push because some public knowledge becomes available that might be inadmissible. That's how public opinion works, right? So right now, the key person to watch in all of this, though, is Senate Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Because, look, he's been saying that he's going to wait to hear all the evidence. He's not saying how he's going to run, what he's going to do. He's just saying, I'm going to listen to the evidence. He's keeping his options open, but he did say he was pleased that the Democrats voted to impeach. He's done with Trump. And this could be a signal of the future of the Republican Party goes. So right now, the key is to watch these Senate Republicans who are up for re-election in 2022 and 2024. Because if Mitch McConnell votes to convict, which is, again, a distinct possibility at this point, does that then swing 16 of his Republican colleagues to convict Trump also? It could. If McConnell votes to acquit, then there's zero chance Republicans will vote to convict. I mean, I think if you feel like you you know, can't get a good grip on what McConnell is thinking on all of this, you're probably not alone. It's pretty interesting to hear some of the reporting on this, because as some reporters are saying, that they've had five or six different senators call asking, what is Mitch up to? A senior GOP senator said, I've had five or six members of the Senate call me and say, hey, what is Mitch doing? So if you don't think that like what he does matters, you're sorely mistaken. That's pretty crazy, right? They're like, hey, what is he doing? I mean, that just goes to show you how spineless they are, right? Like they can't just make up their own mind. And McConnell right now isn't lobbying his colleagues either way. He's apparently being quiet on the whole thing. Like he's not calling them, telling them to one way or the other. On Tuesday, the New York Times broke a story saying that McConnell is pleased that Democrats are moving to impeach Trump. Of course, that rocked Capitol Hill last night. And maybe because McConnell was greenlighting this idea that Senate Republicans could convict Trump, that's why we saw 10 Republicans vote for impeachment last night. I mean, McConnell does not like Trump. Trump does not like McConnell at this point. The relationship between these two men is like shattered. They haven't spoken in weeks, according to reporting. But the official line out of Kentucky bluegrass country for Mitch McConnell is he hasn't made up his mind. But there is a block of Republican senators at this hour who seem very likely to vote to convict Trump. Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine. And if McConnell votes to convict, you're going to see a lot of other close allies popping in there too. Like Senate Majority Whip John Thune. You may even see Senator John Cornyn of Texas jump on that, back him up. They are big McConnell loyalists. And there's plenty of other McConnell loyalists that would also follow. That won't still add up to 19, though. I mean, 17. So that leaves a few of those people, those Republicans who are running in 2022 or 2024, to decide. It's up to those people. What are they going to do? Senator Shelby of Alabama, he's possibly retiring. Marco Rubio of Florida, Todd Young of Indiana, Chuck Grassley of Iowa. These are all possibilities. Rob Portman of Ohio. I'm just throwing out some names here, but these are all people that I'm talking about that are right on that line. Roy Blunt of Missouri, James Lankford of Oklahoma, Mike Lee of Utah, all worth keeping an eye on the 19th. Then you also have Roger Wicker of Mississippi. So if any of these names ring a bell to you as constituents, like your constituents, and you want them to vote one way or the other, it's time for you to make a phone call. You know, it's time for you to reach out to your representative or your member of the Senate. You know, you can consider what Rob Portman out of Ohio said about the impeachment. He said if the Senate proceeds with an impeachment trial, he said he's going to do his duty as a juror and he's going to listen to the cases presented by both sides. So this is where this Biden administration is going to begin. He's worried, of course, about the polarization, whether or not the Senate goes through this process now. Is it going to take him off of his game and focus on the things that he needs to work on right now? But right now, the sort of standard of rendering judgment isn't whether the verdict will heal divisions. It's whether the president did what he's charged with and whether it will bring the country together, whether President Biden can do what he says he's going to do, which is pass stimulus, heal the nation, bring people together. He's not president yet. He's not president yet. So there's very little that he can do other than just have some speeches. One thing he's wondering, though, this morning is whether or not his cabinet will be sworn in or approved ahead of time or more quickly. At this point in the process, President Trump only had two people confirmed. I think Obama had about seven people confirmed before he took office. And so this process right now is slow. And obviously, there are people that we need in the cabinet moving us along very quickly. We want to make sure we have people in these important jobs, so that there's not a lag period behind all of this and getting some of these important members of his cabinet in there. And there's also a question this morning of whether or not Democrats will stick together to impeach Trump. right, Joe Manchin? Now, what will Senator Joe Manchin do in this entire process? That's maybe the that's the $64,000 question. Joe Manchin, Senator Joe Manchin. If you're new here, welcome. Welcome to the show. We do our show live every day, 9 a.m. Eastern time. I wanted to make this mention about our newsletter real quick. Public service announcement before we get to our stimulus update in a second. Yesterday, we had an issue with our newsletter going out. Thousands of you received it, like everyone received it, but actually it was probably in your spam or junk folder, unfortunately. So if you did get if you didn't get your newsletter yesterday, that's likely where it's sitting this morning. So please, you know, go check your newsletter email. Or if you're not a member, just go to morninginvest.com and sign up for free. It's totally free, but we fixed it. So, and when you get the email, just hit reply, just say, hey, I got it. Let us know that you got it too. That'll be helpful. And, that email comes to me and I can check it, make sure you're good to go on that front. So hopefully we nip that in the bud for you. All right, let's, talk some stimulus news now. We've got some major updates on the stimulus front, and President-elect Biden is set to give a major speech on stimulus this afternoon, where he's expected to roll out this massive package. We'll get into the numbers in just a second, but President-elect Biden saying, we've got to get this money out to people quickly, and it looks like there's going to be two different sections of this process right now. There's going to be two different stimulus packages. So let me play you what Joe Biden said about this, and then we'll dive into the numbers and explain how this is coming together this morning.
But as I said from the beginning, the need to make sure that relief and future relief reaches everyone who needs it, we need to do more. These relief dollars will start to flow quickly, potentially, while the current administration is still in office. And they may send out money that they won't have any control over. But for what we have to control, need control over, I want to be very clear what my priorities are for distributing this emergency aid swiftly and equitably. Our focus will be on small businesses on Main Street that aren't wealthy and well-connected, that are facing real economic hardships through no fault of their own. Our priority will be Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses, women-owned businesses. And finally, having equal access to resources needed to reopen and rebuild. But we're going to make a concerted effort to help small businesses in low-income communities, in big cities, small towns, rural communities that have faced systemic barriers to relief. Think of the mom-and-pop owner with a couple of employees who can't pick up the phone and call a banker, who doesn't have a lawyer, an accountant, to help them through this complicated process, to know if they're even qualified, or who simply didn't know where this relief was available in the first place.
That's an incredibly important point. And I'm glad he said that. We've been saying that here on the show for a while, which is, there's like people that had access, you know, that there was stimulus dollars available. They might not have even known about it. They don't even know how to get it, how to get access to it. Most people don't have access to a lawyer. Lawyers are expensive. Do you think there's someone out there that has a $5,000 they can put down on as a retainer fee on a lawyer? $2,000? No. Or just to find simple answers like that. So that these are the people he's trying to target early in this process, and I'm encouraged to hear that.
We went through this, Don, when we brought Detroit back off its knees. And as we saw in this morning's job report, restaurants, bars, and hospitality industry have been slammed by this virus. We're going to direct relief to those businesses and others that have been so badly hit the hardest. We owe them that support to help them get through the other side of this crisis.
So the president-elect is set to speak this afternoon in Wilmington, Delaware, where he will unveil, there's a couple of different reports right now floating around on the exact price tag, the overall number. No one knows exactly, except he, I'm sure. There is one report that it's going to be in the neighborhood of $1.5 trillion. But remember, there's going to be two different packages in this. And so it's unclear what size this is going to look like. I mean, we're understanding that Schumer is saying around $1.3 trillion. and is pushing the president-elect for that. Others are saying it's going to be around the $1.5 trillion mark. We do know there's a couple of key things in this bill that will have some significant effect for Americans. It's supposed to include $2,000 stimulus payments. Other reports I'm hearing from different reporting is saying they might be in the $1,400 range.
Do you remember what the amount was? Over what the big corporations got, what was the trillion mark that the people got during the CARES Act? When they got the $2,000, they got the unemployment extension. Do you remember what the total amount was there?
Oh, under the CARES Act?
Yeah.
Well, that actually went to the people. Yeah, the amount that went to the people was $1,200. I don't know the total sum. I think it was in the neighborhood of $400 billion.
Okay.
Roughly $400 billion.
Okay, I just wanted to get a comparison of the amount versus what this is, because that's considerably larger than.
Exactly. And so this would be targeted towards families. This, from what I'm understanding in this package, this doesn't look like it's going to be targeted towards business, certainly not Wall Street. It looks like this is expected to have focus on children in poor and middle-class households, $2,000 stimulus payments, unemployment benefits up to $600. There is also a push for this new tax credit. The new child benefit will be involved in this as well. It will extend. So this new child benefit is going to be interesting. It's going to have unemployment, other assistance for ailing economy, as well as this. Again, it's not been finalized yet, but some are saying it's going to be similar to his campaign pledge, which was $300 per month to American households for every child under the age of 6. So per month, as well as $250 per month for every child between the ages of 6 and 17. That's going to amount to about $3,600 per year for families. So these child credits, we don't know what the final number will be until we get the actual numbers from him. But this child tax credit is going to benefit.
I think we lost you, Clayton. And I don't know if it's on my end. It looks like I'm still streaming on my end. Oh, there he is. I don't know what happened. Here he is. There he is.
Unbelievable.
What are you on right now?
Sorry for the audio. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on literally having to use a hotspot to get in right now. No power. Whole studio's down. Everything. So that's how we do it. Unfortunately. All right.
Let's get back into the news.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to have any elements to be able to show you, unfortunately. But that's okay. And I also don't have any of my notes, so I'm just going to have to go off of memory.
Uh-oh.
Is the stream still looking okay? Did we lose anybody? I hope we didn't lose anybody.
No, we're still good.
Okay, good, good. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. But, yeah, we're waiting on the power company. I don't know what's going on, but it's still not back. So
We actually gained 50,000 people while I was running it, and then when you came back, it dropped back down to 17. Now, what the hell is up with that? Come on, people.
Right. Well, thanks, everyone, for your patience. I'm sorry for the lighting. It's brutal. I apologize. All right, so let's get back into it. So let's get back into the stimulus news and where we were on that front, because Joe Biden is set to unveil the stimulus plan this afternoon. $1.5 trillion, it looks like it could be. Now, I am reading a different report talking about these stimulus checks might be smaller, on order of $1,400 instead of $2,000, which would be an absolute shame if that happens. I think that would be a huge mistake, of course, if they reduce the amount of the stimulus checks, especially a week ago when President-elect Biden was down in Georgia, saying, if you want $2,000 stimulus checks, you need to vote for Raphael Warnock and David Ossoff. And they did. And they won. So then to have this reduction down to $1,400 makes zero sense to me. But again, this child tax credit thing will be exciting. $300 per child if they're of age. And then that would last all, every month throughout the entire year. Also included in this would be, some of the numbers are, we would have about $600 in unemployment benefits. So $600 a week in unemployment benefits, as opposed to the normal $300, which was part of the last proposal. So that will also be increased as well. So that's pretty exciting that this is going to be bumped back up. But there are apparently some members of Congress who are not really game on the idea of 600. I mean, like, at this point, haven't we learned our lesson? Like, haven't we learned our lesson on this idea that, look, if you start lowering these numbers, you start pissing people off. And especially when we've already done that number, why are you going lower when the economy is now worse and we're over 4,000 deaths a day now from coronavirus? So now is not the time to start scrapping that amount of money and lowering your overall costs in this plan. So again, these could be two different packages. The larger infrastructure package is looking like it's going to be rolled out in a few weeks. So that would include roads, bridges, schools, et cetera. That could come a little bit later. And it's going to be a prime time address tonight. So, hey, if we have our freaking power back on, then I will bring this to you live later tonight when we have the prime time address from President-elect Biden, hopefully, as long as our power comes back on. Of course, the statement that President-elect Biden released last night said, I hope that the Senate leadership will find a way to deal with their constitutional responsibilities on impeachment while also working on the other urgent business of this nation. So, of course, his concern is now that they're moving forward on impeachment, and that's going to take up the time of the Senate, that that they'll also be able to focus on getting his cabinet members approved and getting meaningful stimulus approved very, very quickly. And of course, this is something that's been important to Chuck Schumer as well, calling on members to make sure that they have this as their top priority. And then, as I reported yesterday, Senator Marco Rubio sent a letter to Joe Biden saying, wouldn't it be great if on your very first day in office, you call on Senate and Congress and the House of Representatives to send to you a big piece of legislation that will bring $2,000 stimulus checks. So I'm hoping that he's going to have a lot of bipartisan support here from Republicans as well as Democrats in this process. And that would be very, very exciting. So again, the main headlines in all of this would be $2,000 checks, $600 unemployment. There are a number of senators who are also throwing in things like the baby bonds program. That's Cory Booker, who wants that, which would be $1,000 deposited into a child's account that they won't be able to touch until they turn 18 years old. That's exciting. That would help narrow the wealth gap in the United States tremendously by being able to do that for families, and also making sure that families have adequate access to the vaccine, distribution, rollout. All of those things would be incredibly important for this stimulus package. And again, the second part of this entire package would not take place probably for another few weeks, and that will be infrastructure. And we're also expecting this one tonight, state and local governments will get money. A significant portion of this $1.5 trillion will have state and local money. So again, if you're just tuning in, I apologize for our normal studio doesn't look like this, but we have a power outage. So I've had to revert to a backup plan. Thank God we have a backup system in place. Thanks for David for taking that over. But if you are just tuning in, there's two competing rumors right now in Washington as to the size of this stimulus package. Would it be $1.5 trillion? Would it be $1.3 trillion? And will the size of the stimulus checks be $1,400 or $2,000? I'm hoping that there's some courage by Biden. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if tonight he comes out in this primetime address and says, I told you we're going to go big. We're going to go bigger than you've ever heard. It's going to be $2,000 a month until this pandemic is done. That would be amazing. You know, some sort of a universal basic income would be amazing if President-elect Biden could do that. I'm actually going to move to a brighter location, David. Make sure that...
No problem.
Tell me if the lighting is any better.
The lighting was actually fine over there.
It was?
Yeah.
Is it better here, though? Okay. Is it good here?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Just want to make sure because I can't see myself. So that's one big piece of it. Another big piece of news on the universal basic income front today is Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang officially announcing this morning that he's running for mayor of New York City. And I don't know if you're able to bring this up or not, David, if you're able to grab it off of YouTube or off of his Twitter stream. I had an element I wanted to show people, which is his announcement video. So if, I don't know if you're able to get that from, if you're able to look for that while I'm talking about it.
Yeah, what am I looking for?
Andrew Yang's announcement video.
Okay.
So if you're able to find that, that would be great. I'm also going to send you this other video that I would love for you to be able to play if you can. So here's this other video we'll play in a second once I get to it. So Andrew Yang came out. Of course, he ran for president. He was the first real champion of this idea of universal basic income. Some form of payment monthly to the American people who are neediest, who need it the most, and where the government would be able to support you. They've been testing this in other countries. Heck, they've been doing it during the pandemic in many countries, notably Canada, notably Europe, and New Zealand and other parts of the world. But the United States hasn't managed to do it. So Andrew Yang is a proud progressive. He announced this morning he's running for mayor of New York City. And one of his big programs is going to be universal basic income.
I have that available whenever.
Okay. So here was his announcement video this morning providing billions of dollars in universal basic income for the people of New York City who are hit and neediest, who are the neediest, among the neediest. So monthly, they would receive money from their government to take care of them. Imagine that. So he's running for mayor. Here's his announcement video. Take a look.
New York City always felt like the center of the universe. I grew up an hour north and came into the city with my brother whenever I could. In 1996, I moved to Morningside Heights. I went to my friend's shows. I was in the garden for Larry Johnson's four-point play.
Mets or Yankees?
Let's go Mets.
Knicks or Nets?
I'm sorry, Knicks, but you've been too bad for too long.
I came of age, fell in love, and became a father here.
Hey guys, thank you.
My wife Evelyn is from Queens. Both my sons were born at St. Luke's.
Papaya King or Grace Papaya?
Grace Papaya, the champ.
Eventually, I became a CEO. I started a nonprofit.
Hello.
President Obama named me a champion of change and an ambassador for entrepreneurship. I ran for president because I saw that the economy was not working for everyday Americans.
60% of small businesses are shutting down.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Seeing my city the way it is now breaks my heart.
What happened to George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others? It's beyond injustice. It's inhuman.
We need to realize Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a guaranteed minimum income and get cash into the hands of people who need it most.
Hang in there. Help's on the way.
We'll bring New York City into the 21st century by getting everyone high-speed internet so our kids can learn.
Hire more teachers and reduce the class sizes. I think that would make a big difference. It's hard, you know, when you have a class of 30 kids.
We'll take back control of our subway.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We'll create a people's bank so it stops being so expensive to be poor.
Your advocacy for universal basic income is so critical. The surest way to end poverty is to put money in people's pockets. It's that simple.
We'll reopen intelligently to revive our incredible culture. Maybe we can even save the Knicks. New York City has been my home for 25 years. It's Evelyn's home. We're public school parents.
Hello!
I like that you out in the street, that you out and about.
I'm running for mayor for my two boys, for you, and for every New Yorker.
We're glad we're going to work for you.
Thank you.
Let's fight for a future New York City that we can all be proud of. Paid for by Yang for New York.
There you go. Andrew Yang running for mayor of New York City, saying the quickest way to end poverty. Quickest way to end poverty is to get money in the hands of people. And imagine that. Imagine this revelation that we could actually get universal basic income in the hands of Americans and that would actually sustain them. You know, it's a remarkable thing to see. And so, wow, what is he up against? Well, the New York Times the other day took the piss out of him, of course. You know, it was amazing to watch the New York Times take, you know, release an article right away, sort of like, you know, talking him down. And that's like, oh, here you go, New York Times. You know, all these big media. Remember MSNBC, of course, that wouldn't have him on the air, blocked him from coming on the air, the mainstream media. Literally had producers being told from their corporate overlords, don't put him on the air because he's too progressive. We wouldn't want Americans with money in their pocket. We're a big corporation. It would hurt us here at Comcast, right? It would hurt our bottom line. So these big corporate overlords blocked him out from mainstream media. Didn't put him up on graphics on television. Didn't put him up on when they were saying who was running for president. They blocked him out. Remarkable. So yes, Andrew Yang running for mayor of New York City. I'm excited about that. Now that New York City looks like a hellhole, Bill de Blasio, it's an absolute mess. So good for him on that front. I'm excited to see what he's able to do in that city and to turn things around. I'm also interested to see, this would be really the first large scale universal basic income program in the United States and in the world. So if he can pull this off in New York City, imagine what we could do around the rest of the country if we provided some sort of universal basic income for Americans. You know, whether it's $1,000 a month for families that meet that certain threshold, could lift them out of poverty, be able to pay for health care for these children, would be absolutely remarkable and needed. But hey, we can spend money, all the money we want, on foreign wars. So why can't we spend money on our American people? Mike Pompeo, I had a soundbite I wanted to play for you, but then with our power outage today, I can't play it. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, though, is now sounding the war drums on Iran. He now claims that Al-Qaeda's new home base is in Iran and offers no evidence of it whatsoever. He has, over the past few weeks, repeatedly been talking about Iran. I watched a press conference with him last night, and I followed the Twitter stream of those watching, and they said, why is he all he's been talking about is Iran. It's Iran, Iran, Iran. That's because we need another war, right? We need another war to justify our massive military spending. We need another bad guy. You know, now that Putin's going to retire, we need another bad guy.
I bet Bolton is also just like, yes, finally, finally.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for spinning this narrative that Al-Qaeda is now living in and setting up home base in Iran. Zero evidence that he presented. He said that the group has centralized its leadership in Tehran. Pompeo didn't provide any substantial evidence, and Iranian officials immediately refuted the allegations. This, of course, comes as Iranian leaders have warned the Trump administration may be planning an attack before President-elect Biden is sworn in next week. So these war drums, baby, they're sounding right now.
That's not
absolutely a war.
That's not an attempt at being a wartime president and not having to leave office, is it?
Well, there are those rumors floating around too, that could this be President Trump's, you know, strategy to sort of wag the dog, you know, go to war with Iran and then be, you know, say, hey, I can't leave office. I have war powers now and I can't leave. See if that actually happens. I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
Yeah, no way at this point. You're under impeachment and you're going to stay in power. It's not going to happen. So unfortunately, I'm running out of power. my machine is about to die, unfortunately.
I can play that video really quick if you want.
Video. Let's play the video. Yeah, so this is a video. James Comey last night. Now he's out pushing a new book. Okay, so bear that in mind. How do I get myself back in the headlines if I'm James Comey after I screw over the nation? What do I do if I'm James Comey to get myself back in the headlines? Oh, I say that President Biden should pardon President Trump. Yeah, listen to James Comey.
Do you think Joe Biden should pardon Trump as Ford did Nixon?
I don't know. He should at least, he should consider it. Now, I don't know whether Donald Trump, he's not a genius, but he might figure out that if he accepts a pardon, that's an admission of guilt, the United States Supreme Court has said. So I don't know that he would accept a pardon, but as part of healing the country and getting us to a place where we can focus on things that are going to matter over the next 4 years, I think Joe Biden's going to have to at least think about that.
Do you think Joe Biden should pardon Trump as Ford did Nixon?
I don't know.
There you go. So should he, I'll ask you guys right now in the chat, should President Biden pardon President Trump? I mean,
I think he should, he'd be more popular if he pardoned Snowden and Assange than Trump. You imagine if what would happen to how divided the country would be all of a sudden if he pardoned Trump? Like,
oh my God.
Then he just flipped the switch to the other side of the aisle. Like, oh, now the Dems are pissed at him.
Right. No way is he going to pardon President Trump. Absolutely not. Calling him one of the most corrupt presidents we've ever had. Now you're going to pardon the guy? You know, Ford, of course, did it, and it ended his political career when he pardoned Nixon. But not going to happen. So James Comey, way to get back in the headlines today. Sell your book. By the way, who's going to read James Comey's book? I don't know. This guy, you know, this is exactly how he gets in the headlines right now on this. I would love to ask your thoughts on this, though. Let me know in the chat. Do you think President Biden should pardon President Trump?
Oh, yeah. We're getting no. Hell no. He would never. No pardon.
Yeah.
Send him to Mars.
What do you think, Grover? No. No, he scratched me. He scratched me. Yeah, so we're going to have live coverage this afternoon. We'll have live coverage this afternoon of the stimulus announcement later today. Yes, that's a bag of popsicle sticks from my kids making stuff. You can see all the random stuff in our house. So we will have live coverage today of the stimulus announcement. President-elect Biden going to announce the stimulus this afternoon or this evening, and we will bring that to you tonight. I'm excited to see what is in the details of this package. Again, could be about $1.5 trillion and would include hopefully the $2,000 stimulus checks, although there are rumors it could be lower at $1,400. So hopefully, though, it'll be up close to the $2,000 range. And I'm interested to see some of these other provisions for rental assistance. I want to dive into those numbers this afternoon. So rental assistance, family tax credit for child tax credits, what these baby bonds programs would look like, offering $1,000 for every family who had children in their bank account would be huge. Setting up a government-run bank account that hopefully would accrue interest, like a 529 plan. So all of these things coming together. This is the first order of business from Vice President Biden. So I'm excited that they're actually going to get some shit done. That sounds encouraging. I was running out of power here, but I think I have a few more seconds of power. I did want to talk about this investigation that looks like it's about to unfold for members of Congress who were leading tours in the Capitol building the night before. Now, they're not allowed to because there's no one allowed in the Capitol right now. Since March of last year, that has been closed down to visitors. You're not allowed to leave tour groups. But according to Mickey Sherrill of New Jersey, and now others are coming forward saying that they believe, like Senator Lindsey Graham among them, there might have been other members who were leading these tours of people who then the next day were the same people who came back and broke into the Capitol. Also of note, I don't know if you heard this story. This is astounding. We covered it in the newsletter this morning, which is about those panic buttons that are inside their offices. A number of members of Congress said that those panic buttons were removed inexplicably days ahead of time. So all you conspiracy theorists out there, I mean, why were panic buttons removed from their offices days ahead of time? And why were they leading tours the night before? Again, one of our viewers last night, Roy, who is a member of the military and worked with a lot of different federal agencies and law enforcement, he said, there is zero chance that they managed to break into the Capitol without help on the inside. Zero chance without there being some level of coordination. So, folks, this is going to be the next chapter in this. Is
well, and who inside? Not the flag, not the flame, the conspiratorial flames, but. Did you see the video of people in the basement of the that window passing bat baseball bats out to people
mm-hmm.
before they had broken
exactly.
in?
Exactly. So we might as well fan the flames because this stuff happened and we have video of it. We have video of those certain police officers that lowered the gates, removed the gates, waved people in. You had people leading tours in the Capitol. You had panic buttons removed. And we knew about it. That's the worst part. We had warnings that the FBI warned about this was coming. So what more do you need? You know, clearly there's something going on and we need to get to the bottom of it. And I hope that they're going to have a full investigation.
Well, and that's like...
And fully investigate.
What I was saying is this has a lot of the same things that the CIA did when they tried to get Guaido in Venezuela. Like, there's a lot of the same stuff. We just cause a lot of, like, unrest in an area and cause a lot of different things to happen. I mean, this has all of the mixings of an overthrow.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously, and that's what happened. You know, people have been throwing around the word coup and... You know, look, a coup is well organized, typically well planned. Those that are inside the government are working with those that are outside the government. So, you know, I know people have slammed the word coup in the first few days. People are like, don't call it a coup. This was not a coup. But then we're starting to see more and more evidence that may be pointing in that direction. Is some sort of an insurrection that would have led to that. So it's hard to say. But some of the signs are starting to emerge right now, and we'll be following it. I'll be keeping my eye on it. And we're covering it in our newsletter as well. So if you joined us late, we had a problem yesterday with our newsletter. It went out. All of you received it. It just might have gone to your spam folder. So please check your spam and junk folders today for it. Many of you wrote and said, I didn't get my newsletter. And we publish it every day, Monday through Friday. So just go to morninginvest.com and sign up. If you're not already a member, sign up for the newsletter. And it should be in your inbox today. And then can you do me a favor and reply to the email when you get it? Just let us know that you got it. But again, check it. See if it's in your spam folder or your junk folder. And if it is, please drag it to your inbox. You can also star the email and turn it into a VIP or whatever. We just had a problem yesterday. We think we fixed it.
And we're going to be, yeah. And we're getting a new system in place so that that doesn't happen with a new IP and stuff. Yeah. So
hopefully that will have fixed the issue. So thanks everyone for my power outage today. Hey, that's live television. Once when I was on Fox and Friends in our studio in New York City, 30 Rock, like right in the heart of Manhattan. Well, there was a couple of times this happened where one time the power went out. And so we had to stay in commercial break for like 10 minutes. like the whole building in Midtown Manhattan, power outage, backup generators, nothing. It didn't happen. So we were in a commercial break for like 10 minutes and people were like tweeting at me. They're like, hey, this commercial break seems like it's really long. You know, like, yeah, we're in a permanent commercial break, I guess, until they get the power back on. There's been other times where we were live in the studio in Midtown Manhattan and suddenly just the studio lights went out, but other lights were on. So we were like in the dark, you know, like having that we had some fun with it. And then there was other times where like fire alarms went off right in the middle of the show. so it was just like blaring and we couldn't even hear ourselves. We had a cut to commercial break. So that's the beauty of live television. So thanks for jumping on it, David, and saving the show.
No worries.
Let's see if Grover says thanks for watching. Where is Grover? See, now I'm mobile right now. I can be sus.
He's like, sus. This is strange.
This is strange. This is not how we normally do this. See, now I'm stepping on stuff over here. Well, thanks.
Wait, I think I just saw your slipper. No, I'm just kidding.
You did. Actually, I almost thought I thought it was. I've been operation trying to find my slipper because I believe Grover stole it the other day. So I have one slipper. I've been walking around with one slipper. And yeah. good times. All right, everyone, thanks so much. I wish I had other elements to show you today, but hey, thanks for rolling with us. That's how we do this show live, and thanks for the issues dealing with this power outage. We'll be back later this evening with another live show. Normally, we do the show at 4 p.m. Eastern. We're going to keep our eye on what happens, though, with Joe Biden today making that stimulus announcement. So based on what time his speech will happen, we'll play it by ear. But expect us to be here at 4 p.m. this afternoon with another show for you. And we'll be able to bring you an update then. So much love to all of you. Thanks for subscribing to the channel and becoming a channel member and supporting independent journalism. I really appreciate it. So smash that subscribe button. And we will see you back here this afternoon, everyone. Hopefully the power will be back on. Bye, everyone.